In March of 1973, Mr. Lee Phillips visited Mr. Eric Logan, old-timer of Moberly Lake. It was an informal conversation, not a formal interview, but Mr. Phillips taped it. And on that afternoon and evening, he was able to get down for us on this tape much of the early history of the Hart Highway District, centering on Moberly Lake, Chetwynd, and the valleys to the south of the Secunca and other rivers and lakes. This is a historic document.
This is Lee Phillips interviewing Eric Logan of Moberly Lake, March the 21st, 1973. Where were you born, Eric?
Born in Calgary, Alberta, in
1917. April the 1st. That's a good day. You lived there for a few years, didn't you?
Well, I was 15 years old when I come up in this country.
Oh, I thought maybe you did some writing down there, too, before you left, even, did you?
Well, I went to school down
there. You went to school down there.
But I actually went to school out of the last. I went to school in about three or four different places.
Mm-hmm.
I started the school first in Banff, Alberta. I was in grade two. I spent a year in Canmore, Alberta in school there. And then we moved back to Clyde, Alberta, just about 10 miles north of Clyde. They call it Nestow, which would be an Indian.
Right
on that long lake.
Yeah.
And the old man had a lot of land there, and then we sold out. I was there 5 years and sold out from up here after.
So
we had a place at Sundry besides, you see, but then he was moving here, and we stopped there.
Well, your father moved up here, too, then.
Yeah.
What year was that?
1931.
And when you joined the Army in?
1942.
And what regiment were you in?
I wasn't with a regiment, actually. I was with the artillery, and I was in Canada, Newfoundland, and all over the place.
Oh, yeah. With a special regiment?
Yeah.
Special
deal? Right. They just more or less Canada in one way.
What have you done for the years you've been around here? Trap?
Well, I trapped with Frank Redwicker since I was 60 or 15 years old.
15 years old, eh?
Up till 1942, that's when Frank died, 1942. I think it's sometime in July. Now, I was on, that time I was packing on the Alaska Highway when he died.
Oh, yes.
But I and my dad was in and seen him in the Coos Coopie Hospital that time. He died of blood poisoning.
It's
late.
I have a picture from Mrs. Nicholson. You said it possibly would be Baker's cabin?
Yes, Baker's was the home cabin.
Then how come they called it Baker's?
Well, the first man that went into that country, this way back in 1800 sometime, him and Baker, a fellow by the name of Baker, he's American.
Oh, a white fellow.
Yeah, he's a white man. Mm-hmm. And they canoed from Federal Bend all the way up to Baker's. Because at that time where Wilbert Nicholson has got his ranch today, they call that Windfall Creek in there, you know.
Yes.
There was windfall piled up from the hills to the river banks, 10, 15 foot high. It'd take a year to cut a trail out at that time because you had to use crossbow saws and that.
Yeah.
Eventually they did cut a trail out years after, but the first trip they made was with dugout canoes hewed out of San Miguel trees.
Yeah.
And two canoes, and they landed at Baker's. And that's as far as they could get with canoes at that time. Well, Baker trapped at Baker's. 5 miles up the river, we called it the second camp. Up there, you always call it the second camp.
Second, yes.
Big creek comes in 5 miles above. And Frank built a cabin up there, and Baker had this cabin as Baker's. Mm-hmm. They built two cabins. They never stayed together. They visit one another once a month. Once a month. Mm-hmm. And Baker stayed in there till spring, and he was a man that he didn't like wild meat. And he lived pretty well on salt pork and beans and so forth. In about April the 1st, that spring, well, he got scurvy.
Oh, yeah.
And old Frank had to haul him all the way down to Federal Bend on a toboggan. Horace by hand.
Yeah.
He had no dog team at that time. He had no dogs at all. They were all backpack at that time. And then he got down there and he drove some potatoes at Federal Bend. He had a little cabin right on the bank of that river. It was about 8 by 12 feet long. Little cabin,
yeah.
The first cabin that Frank ever had, right in the spruce timber, right where the bridge is today.
It's a one-man cabin, right?
Just a one-man trapper cabin.
Yeah.
And he had a grow the garden there, and he had a root cellar made in the hill there, back in the bench there.
Yeah.
And he had a bunch of potatoes there, and he got those potatoes dug out there when they got down there and shot a deer and made old Baker eat meat and potatoes.
Was he fairly old?
Trying to get a little better. No, they were young men.
Young men, then.
Both very young men.
Yeah.
And then they went on through to Port St. John, which was the only people living outside of one Indian on the Sestunka River at that time. Was a Beaver Indian. His name was Joe Cayenne.
Cayenne,
that was the only man that lived on that Sestunka River.
Was Hardy Cayenne's?
That ever trapped on that Sestunka River.
Was this Hardy Cayenne's relatives?
That's his dad.
His dad.
Yeah.
Nice to know.
Yeah, that's his Hardy's dad.
What area was the federal trapping on them today? Who would be trapping there?
Today, who was trapped in the trap line
yeah.
today, after I sold it?
Well, which one was it, yeah? Mm-hmm.
Nicholson has got the trap line today.
Who, yeah.
Wilbert Nicholson.
Wilbert, yeah.
He has that place.
That's one of the Twidwell had that too, did he?
Eh?
Twidwell had that one too? Or what, nobody had it that those days, did they?
Well, Twidwell owned that whole country.
We did, they
pretty well at one time, then the Gellios, you see?
Yeah.
And Alec Cardinal's dad, he was in there. Oh, maybe 10 years after,
mm-hmm.
15 years after, Frank had trapped in there. And he trapped right at Windfall Creek, and he had some cabins right across the river there where the Windfall empties into the Skunk River there, right on an island.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to use the old Cardinal's cabins there. Then he had another cabin, old Cardinal, down in this end of the Big Bend, just above the falls.
Mm-hmm.
But Frank first started trapping was right at the falls.
At the falls. Did he go west? Towards the burn too, in himself?
Oh yes, he trapped Bob Fry is the first man that trapped the Burnt River.
And who was he?
He run a trading post at Federal Bend. Him and
oh.
Frank come into this country together. And two men. They used to
have
a trading post. That is before Harry Garbutt had a trading post at Mobley Lake.
That would be about 1915, eh?
Harry Garbutt had a trading post at Home Prairie at that time.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There was nobody in Mobley Lake here then,
no.
Outside of a few Beaver Indians that lived on the west end of the lake, and these
yeah.
Soto Indians, who's at the east end of the lake today, they lived up on just this side of the canyon, on the Sestunka River.
Oh, yeah?
What they call the Soto Camps. Mm-hmm. That, right? And
when you came to
the Soto Camps, you can still see the
mm-hmm.
foundations of the old log buildings, or old Chief William, and the old John, the old medicine man, Chief William's brother.
Where are those graves at, you said?
That's all this Deserly's dad. And
where were those graves at?
Those graves are all at Martin Creek.
Martin Creek, yeah.
Right at Martin Creek. There's a little hill. If you ever go up there sometime, they'll show you where all the Cayenne family and all of them. Then there used to be another big graveyard right at Treadwell Bend. They're farming right over to Albany.
Well, that's where they are now. No, they've farmed around it. This is Nicholson. He's going to tell me they're going to fence it near it.
They are going to fence it probably now. But no, they didn't farm around it. I know right where it is. It's all plowed under.
Who is the guy with Martin Goodrich that's supposed to be buried there? Helped him.
Well, he's buried right behind Nicholson's house, just
yeah,
up on top of that hill.
Yeah, that's a
little
mean,
hill there.
No, there's some Indians there too.
No, I know the man real well, and you asked me his name right today now, and I can't think of his name, but you can find his name if you ever want it. It's right on, we took a big square rock, his brother did.
Yeah.
I got it up on the hill, a great big square rock, and they carved his name and where he's born in the States. Part of the state he come from, Colorado or someplace, I'm not sure.
So it's on the stone?
It's on a stone there.
It is, eh? Well,
yeah.
I have to look at that.
He's actually in that.
Arnold Monk might know.
And he drowned it 2 miles up the Sestunka River on a raft, and they're coming down, they upset the raft in the drift pile up there. And Martin got out on the drift pile, and then he made another raft on the drift pile. He was on an island in there. And he'd come on down to Federal Bend. He tied that together with a bunch of... he had a bunch of spikes or something in his collar, his pack sack, and he had his pack sack on his back when he set her out. Well, then he come on down there and he said he drowned his boy a year before in the Burns River, Martin.
He never did find that boy.
That was the year before that. In that spring, they went up and built another cabin. His cabin had washed out on the Burnt River, and they built a new cabin and everything, and they were coming back down in June.
Arnold Monk knew the area, did he?
He knew where the grave is, I think.
But he didn't.
He wasn't living there at that time.
He wasn't there yet.
No.
I helped.
We buried him there because when we took him out of the river, well, there's no way you could take him anywhere at that time. There's no road pack horses. It was hot by there when he laid there for a long time in the sand. I was the one that found him.
Yeah.
It was a red rubber boot, the heel of the boot, right at right where the rivers come in there. Yeah. And we walked right past there for days, you know, the game warden, Teddy Strand.
Yeah.
So I went over there one day. We used to cross them with a canoe. I know Frank Redwood, you see. Take them back and forth, and they'd walk the river and look around and come back at night. And I went over there one day, and the river dropped a little bit, you know, on the sand there. They're going to, there's a bunch of this here. Second growth poplars going up there. And they just walk right straight through, like where the water runs through there, and the gravel bar was more around that side. So I went around them with us there. There's a red rubber boot there, so grabbed the whole way out there to the waist and pulled that up.
There
he was.
Leg
in there. Yes. So they left him there. Far to the place, and they come out and they took him out. Well, you know what happens when they take a man out of the water.
Oh, yeah.
So all we did, we just hewed out a coffin there out of the spruce. Just made it out of, hewed it with an axe. There's no lumber around the country at that time. And put him in that.
Put him up on that hill
and dug a grave and wound his brothers. Well, they drove as far as East Pine with a car at that time. They got that far. I mean, they come in, but that took a few days for them to get from the States down.
Oh, yes.
They laid in the water till they did get there.
But
you couldn't identify him the minute you took him out of the water. You know who he was the minute you took him out, but 2 minutes after, you couldn't tell who he was. And he was a great river man. He'd been a long driving man in his day, and one thing another.
They said he didn't take his pack, didn't get his pack off his back.
No, he had the pack on his back. He had everything.
Yeah. Probably got that off. He probably hung on to something and saved himself.
Well. Martin claims he got a hold of him at the end of the drift pile by the arm, and he started pulling him up, and the water's awful swift there, because I went through there with rats. I know I was right at that place anyway. At first, you never go through there, you know, by rats. But when the water was the highest in 48, I and this George Groot, he was just a kid, went through there. And we could have gone it the same way as Martin did.
Yeah, Percy Stevens, he
there was a log. There was always an old bam tree or something putting you right across that Nara Canal.
Percy Stevens, he put your drum down here once.
And he'd go under the water, come up. And that's what happened with them. When they come through there, they had a great big long wide raft.
Yeah.
They couldn't handle. I had a Nara one of three logs. We used to make them Nara like canoe more. Well, when they went there, that log, I guess, had come up. And they hit it. You turned that raft in, we're in. Because the water's going through there at a good 30 miles an hour in that high water.
Do you know anything about Hargraves? Can you tell me anything about them? I haven't got nothing down here.
The Hargrave people, I didn't know too well. They come up into this country from the south, from Saskatchewan.
About what year was that?
That was in 1940. I think they must come up here in 44. I think they were here anyway when I come out of the army in 46, they were here at that
east
time.
East of Long Lake and Great
Yes, they settled down home, settled down in there around Big Lake.
Did they have much of an outfit, I mean, isn't that?
Well, they brought a bunch of horses in here, They were horse ranchers from Saskatchewan when they come up here. But,
What was their names, do you remember?
Golly, I don't remember their first names, no. And I met both the brothers, the two brothers, and the old lady, and the old works, down here.
How
46, but that's putting there 20-something years ago.
They didn't stay too long, 5 years, they said, about.
Yeah, and they moored out. Well, I seen them here.
Well, they had
one brother here about 3 years ago in Dawson Creek. Three or 4 years ago.
I'll have to look that name up and maybe go back on it.
I don't know if they're still alive or not. I couldn't tell you.
Because possibly it could be.
They're old men,
Jemison Trail had cut across in there pretty close to where they were, eh?
What they, yeah, the Jemison Trail, what they call the Jemison Trail. The Jemison Trail starts at East Pine.
East Pine, yes.
And it comes to Mobile Lake here, and then goes around and goes through the Hudson's Hope. Old Jemison was the first man.
They split off at Jackfish Lake there and went to Port St. John, too, eh? Somebody said told me then.
Yeah, there was a trail went up. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yes, it went up as far as, I guess as far as Patton, what we used to call Patton Worth, that's the other side of Del Rio now. Mm-hmm. Patton Worth, that's where Sandy has his ranch today.
Yeah.
There were the only two white men who lived between here and
John
and Taylor Flats at that time. He had a horse ranch in there, old Pratt, but then he sold out and Mr. Turpentine and went back to the United States.
There was a break in the tape here. A little gap. When Mr. Phillips and Mr. Logan resumed talking, Mr. Logan was telling of a story which Frank Twidwell, or Treadwell, had told him about driving a bull team through the streets of Chicago.
Is that right?
He first settled, seven families of them, in where Washington, D.C. is today.
Oh,
Dad was the first Indian agent who was ever in the United States.
Is that right, Dick?
No. In that part of the United States.
Yeah.
Well, the first Indian agent, biggest in the United States.
He should have been in South Dakota today.
He comes to Vancouver as a logger. He's an ox teamster. He's an ox teamster, and he logged there when he come to Vancouver first, he was 20 years old. And he never did go back to the States, only to his dad's funeral 40 years after.
Yeah.
He went back to the States then, to the funeral, and then that was the same time as Chicago First World's Fair. And he was the man that drove the old ox teamster, the old timer, that they wanted to drive the ox team through Chicago at that time, 6 yoke of ox.
Yes.
Bulls.
Yes.
He kind of turned chicken and he turned over to Frank.
Yes.
Frank was a fairly young man at that time. Figured he was a better
well, just
the jerk. And he let Frank. And Frank is a man that drove the...
They did that with a jerk like
the ox team through, no, just for the whip.
Yeah, just time. For the whip.
Yeah. They never used no lines at all.
No lines at all. That made me a jerk like that.
No, just all talking and to them and...
A little bit of swearing.
Yokes at that time, you know, a big yoke across their necks.
Yeah.
And he was dragging a great big log right when he was
holding
taking
them
through there.
Kind of holding them down, eh?
Down a little bit, but the people to see him, they get excited.
Oh, yeah.
But I guess he was a wonderful a man that could handle a bull, as old Frank Goodwill.
Is that right?
Never a man that could handle a bull. Like
quite
Frank.
Quite interesting.
You know cattle, I tell you, when it comes to stock. Put
they
a bull in his place in a hurry.
They had a few cattle down here, eh?
Yeah, he had cattle.
That was pretty good.
He had quite a few bulls in stuff when we came in here.
Well, he was never married, eh?
Yes, Frank was, he married old Arby Cayenne's, well, Joe Cayenne's daughter.
Cayenne.
Be a sister more of Arby, in a way, a half-sister of Arby.
Half-sister.
Yeah. She's a great woman. She died at a young moment.
Oh, yes.
She's very bad. Well, Frank had one of the prettiest daughters I've ever seen. Anybody ever know her?
Never heard of her. I can't tell you.
She raised in a mission in but she came up here when she was married Pat Kelly.
You're the first man of any information, the person, I should say.
Married Pat Kelly here. That's the oldest daughter.
And she died in Harris. She died in Harris.
Yes,
that's Dewey Anderson's place.
She's one of the people lived in Harris, isn't she?
Yeah. Died of tuberculosis.
Yeah.
Sick at that time, they couldn't do much for tuberculosis,
no.
And they just sent her home.
Yeah.
So they just lay around until they died at that time.
How old Frank Twidwell's family all day?
All
day. 15
and 20 years old.
That's really something, isn't it? He was a fairly old man.
Right.
Have you got any pictures of him?
No, I haven't got a picture of him.
I have one.
He's just the same as my dad, but...
I got one right here. I was going to bring it out. I was going to miss a Nicholson, and I'll be in there and get you one.
Oh, Mrs. Nicholson's got some pictures
of
them.
Yes, she's got one of these Trappers
guys. I got pictures of them, but Roy has got them, my brother.
Oh, yeah.
See, he's got to know all my pictures.
Well, he was here, too, the same time you were.
Roy?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Our whole family's here. My mother died here, you see.
Your mother died.
1935. She died here in 1935. She married in Dawson Creek. And the old, be the same place where Frank is buried, the same graveyard. But that's that old graveyard down in the other east end of town.
East end of town. My wife says it when I never saw it yet.
There's a tombstone if you look there. You'll find a tombstone and everything.
You must be up there when they come.
Frank, now I don't know just where his grave is. I couldn't find it in there when I was in there, and I was going to go because at the time when he was buried, I wasn't here, so I didn't even bother going there, you know.
Mrs. Davis said in the early years, sometimes you went to the store and you couldn't get enough flour. You just got to give you a few pounds because it didn't ever get in the church, you know.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And not always get all the flour you wanted.
You didn't get very much flour then, did you?
No, it just got a little bit.
Yeah.
Couldn't give you a whole
lot. Well, you take the old widow people, the old timers at that time, the Indian department give them rations.
Yeah.
You know. Like an old person, they got 25 pounds of flour, they got a little can of bacon powder, and they got a can of lard, a 3-pound pail of lard. That was in probably 5 pounds of rice.
Yeah.
That is their rations for a whole month.
Whole month, yes. Yeah.
They wanted anything else to eat, they got out in the bush and rustled it, and they wanted their wood, they had to go out in the bush and pack it in their bags.
Yeah.
Or a teepee. They all lived in teepees around here when I come here. Them old people.
Oh, yes.
They wouldn't live in the
house. No.
I thought it got awful. In the last few years that they were alive, they built cabins for them, little cabins, you know, just out of poplar logs. There ain't dirt roof on there, poles, no floor. In the real cold weather, they move in there, they maybe stay there. But the 1st of March, every spring, the same as Mrs. Davis, all of us.
This is Tommy Napoleon.
And they moved out in teepees, out of their houses. And the 1st of March comes, they're all out here, Mooney House, all of them.
Mrs. Tommy Napoleon, she was about the last one that had them.
She was about the last lady, and her Mrs. Cryman up here, the old lady Cryman, that had a teepee.
Yeah.
Last year that she had her teepee fixed, she used to live down there just by working. And she just passed there, right just on the edge, and right in his off the reserve, and she was camped right on the reserve, and she kept her keeping there all summer.
All
that's
summer,
where
yeah,
she stayed.
He spoke me wrong,
the last 2 years she lived.
Yeah, she lived. I can find out more about her from Monk's.
She's a West End lady. She's a Beaver Indian woman.
Yeah. I can find out more about her from
the prime man people. They were never educated, none of them. Still married. Her daughter. Same as Oliver Goshie's wife.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of them. But that old lady, Mary Grant, and I'll say that, there isn't a white woman, there ain't no person as clean as them two.
I guess
too late.
No.
You walk into Mary's house right today. She's
still living yet?
That house you could eat.
She's
on
still
the
living, eh?
Oh, yeah.
And she doesn't, can she talk?
She's speaking with me.
Yes.
But she wouldn't probably speak English to you, and she might. No,
yes,
it's hard to say. Just how she happens to take.
I'll have to go up and talk to her.
But she's very hard to talk to, in a way.
Yes. I've had somebody who's acquainted with her real well.
Yes, if you can understand a little bit of Cree, a little bit of Beaver, words here and there, because you lose something in English and mixed up in
her language. Mrs. McLean wouldn't talk to me in English. She talked in Cree only.
Wonderful lady. But she's a bashful lady. Never was married.
Oh, just
never actually legally married.
No.
She had them two kids. Pat Cryman and Oliver Goshie's wife.
Lillian.
Mm-hmm. And that's all the children she ever had.
And where's the other two Crymans? They're out of another family, eh? George
never was married. He's single.
Yeah.
And but if you want to go and see Charlie,
yeah, he's had another family.
He's got a family.
Well, that's another family of Crymans, eh?
No, that's the old original Cryman family. That
is
Mary's son. George Hardy must be over 60 now.
Yeah.
62, 63, maybe 65 years old.
Charlie. I never knew too much about that.
And George is getting up in years. That's the old man. Mm-hmm. The oldest boy. No, Charlie's the oldest boy in George.
Yeah.
There was a big family at one time. time, but they, their dad died off. There's three left of the family. All of them families are big families.
Oh, yeah.
There's only two left.
Sure.
Tough ones.
The tough ones.
Only ones that could do this. You know.
I'll have to find. And how about Harry Garbutt? Do you know much about him?
Oh, yes. A bit about Harry Garbutt. I should, I don't.
And would, some of the stories
been here for a good many, many years.
Some of these little stories that I want to put on here.
When you never seen any money in the country, and there was no money. I lived in this country for 5 years, and I first come here, I never seen a dollar bill, I never seen a 25-cent piece, I never seen a 10-cent piece. It didn't worry us any.
No.
Because everything was trade.
Yeah.
You got fur, you traded your fur for what? For a pair of overalls, or a shirt, or... whatever you needed, and some rice and beans, and
yeah,
that's the kind of food there was, some flour and baking powder. There was no fancy food. There was butter, it was a hard thing to get a hold of. Milk was another thing. It was hard to get that reindeer thick, you know,
yeah,
that
the
old reindeer
yeah,
milk.
Yeah.
Just to get that once in a while.
Yeah.
And Clint, you could buy that powdered
milk.
Clint.
Yeah.
But everything was dried fruit. There was nothing such a thing as canned fruit or anything like that, or cheese, or not
fruit.
Fruit, but beans,
dried apples.
Rice and dried apples. That was the trapper's diet pretty
yeah,
well. Bannock and.
How do you make bannock anyway? Sounds, tell us.
Well, it's just the same as you practically make bannock the same way you make bacon butter biscuits. There ain't too much difference.
Just put them on top of the stove. And
but the real bannock is actually what they call the real bannock is just flour and water.
Flour and water and salt.
Roll it out real thin and some salt. You put a little salt in and throw it on top of the stove there and just bake it.
Bake it, yeah.
That's
bannock.
Real
that's
bannock.
Real bannock. Yeah. That's what I thought.
Whenever you put bacon butter
no,
in it, well, then it's not bannock. But old Harry Garbutt, well, that was the first man, he was the first trader that was ever in it, this was mobile. And he had that isn't the trading post there, that's there when he traded to the what they call the trading post there. I helped build this one down here in 1939, but the old trading post, it was a building about 16 foot wide and about 28 feet long. And it had a big brand on the front, the whole full side of it was a brand that built out on the side. And the door was right in the center of the side of the building. And you had a counter back in the back end and you kept a few groceries and stuff in the back end of it as it opened off. And you never kept nothing on shelves. All. You never seen a thing when you walked in there. I don't know. Two guns and stuff like that hanging around there. Bear hides and stuff like that for a while.
I guess he was pretty good.
A few ladies' dresses and things on a little rack there that kept a odd fancy dress in case somebody might want to get married someday or something. Something like that. That's about all they kept.
Now you say we were the first?
We were the first white boys that lived here at Montreal.
You were, eh?
I am Roy, and Rex, and my sister. Oh, there's only four of us in the family.
Yeah.
Audrey.